One usually thinks of the music of Africa in terms of drum rhythms, and certainly the percussion instruments and the complex percussion patterns that are used by African musicians are one of the most complex aspects of the musical culture. But on the other hand, all too often we tend to completely overlook the melodic aspect of African music. African music is not all loud and wild drumming and complex syncopations. Certainly they do have a complex system of rhythm, but there is a complex system of melody as well. Musically, the African musician is very sensitive to subtle changes in style, to descriptions, poetical descriptions of nature or of human emotions. One very often finds, therefore, that there are great differences in melodic style, say, from even one village to another. And this is aside from the rhythm, which again may be different, but special choice of tunings of instruments that might be found more in one geographical area than the other. And of course, then there is the all-important element of personal styles, and there are a great number of personal styles, and one simply hears a musician play in some areas, and he can be identified. There are many, many different types of melodic instruments to be used in Africa, and even the drums, in this case, can be included, for there are some examples of drums that are tuned so that they can play melodies on them. There are various types of harps, lyres, lutes, xylophones, and instruments of that type which all play melodies. But one of the most distinctive instruments to be found in Africa, and one which really gives us a very exciting kind of indication into the musical culture of the African, is a very small instrument of which we have no counterpart that I can think of, known commonly as mbira, or also by many, many other different names, lekembe, kitande, just to name a few. It has been commonly called, and incorrectly, sansa, or the kafir piano, or the thumb piano. It can be, and usually is, a very small instrument that fits into the palm of the hands, and it's plucked. It has long metal keys that are plucked by the thumbs of both hands and the first fingers of both hands. These metal keys are sometimes made of hammered out bicycle spokes or hammered out nails or other pieces of metal. There are sometimes strips of rather stiff bamboo. In any case, they are attached at one end and simply stretched out at the other end to some degree of tension. Now, you know that if you take a pencil or a chopstick, if you want, and hold it fast at one end to the edge of a table or something, and then pluck the free end, you'll get a nice kind of note, depending on how much of the pencil is protruding. Now, if you pull it back and let only a short amount of the pencil or the stick protrude, you'll get a higher note. You get a much more rapid number of vibrations. So by adjusting the length of these tongues on this instrument, they get several different pitches. Now, there are several different types of these mbira, as we might call them, since this is the most popular name for them. Some of them are simply small, flat, little pieces of wood on which these metal keys or tongues are mounted. Sometimes they have rattles added to them, so that when the player plucks these keys, these little rattles will vibrate and add a little confusion, a little more brilliant sound. These flat instruments are sometimes fixed with a resonator underneath, usually a gourd of some kind, or a hollow box is part of the instrument, and this produces an added resonance sound. Here is an mbira that has no resonator at all. It's simply a flat box. This one's not very well in tune, but it'll give you an idea of the tone of the instrument with the rattles. Here's another instrument now that has a gourd resonator, and the pieces of metal are somewhat thinner and produce a much nicer tone. Now the keys are arranged not in a stepwise order as we might expect, but they're kind of staggered. So starting at the left end of the instrument and moving towards the right, we get this tonal order. Do that once more. Now this would seem an illogical kind of order perhaps, but it falls well under the hands of an experienced player, and I won't attempt to do that for you. But I would just like to point out that one of the reasons that this might be is that there are two basic, we might not call them chords perhaps, but two basic tonalities or tonal centers around which an instrument in this tuning might evolve. Now there are many different melodic types for different instruments, but say for this particular instrument, you have one here. And another here. So that melodies might alternate working around these two tones. The instrument, being very small, is of course quite easily portable, and very often an African can have one of these instruments and use it with to accompany himself when he goes on a long walk, because he can simply hold it between his hands and walk a long distance and sing along. And this of course greatly eases the burden of having to walk a long distance. It makes one feel that he can walk quite a ways. Very often these instruments are used solo, of course, or with the singer singing to himself and accompanying himself on this instrument. Usually the singing style in this case is very soft, of course, since the sound of the instrument is not too loud. Sometimes, however, the instrument can be used in very large ensemble, that is, mbiras of several different sizes, very high-pitched ones, going down to very large ones, that are actually the small keyboard type set inside of a large calabash or gourd so that they are made to resonate loudly. The first example I want to play on this program is an example of a large ensemble of mbira players. You'll hear each of the instruments come in separately, from the very high-pitched instruments down to the deeper-pitched instruments, and they will gradually get a kind of structure going in which the higher pitch instruments are playing rapid patterns, and as you go down the pattern gets simplified until the lower ones are playing a kind of bass part. It's a very simple repeated pattern that goes over and over again, and on this the singers begin singing in a large group, and the effect is oddly enough somewhat like a Cuban son montuno, in which you have the same harmonic pattern repeated over and over again, with sometimes very slight variations in the bass part or very slight variations in the upper part. In any case, here is a large ensemble of mbira players, and you can hear the tone quality and the musical texture of a large number of these instruments playing simultaneously. Thank you. That particular example was a rather humorous song. However, the music of the mbira can be used for just about anything. This next example, by way of contrast, is a semi-religious piece, we might call it. It is actually a kind of performance as a charm in order to protect the hunters in the village who are going out to hunt the lion. The piece is called Shumba, which means the lion, from which I guess we get our own word Simba, which is not really a word, but it uses a large number of these mbira, playing in a very soft style. And there's a very kind of haunting quality about this piece as compared to the rather direct and outgoing quality of the first piece. And you do get the effect of this being a song for mystical or purposes of exorcism. So here is Shumba, played on a group of mbira accompanied by voices. Yeah.
Dinuja gure gure.
To show the wide variety of possible usages for this instrument, I want to contrast now the two examples you've heard of large ensemble performance on the mbira with a solo example. This particular one is being played by a boy of 13 years old who is singing a simple song and accompanying himself on this instrument. The style, of course, is quite delicate, and it's again in this rather bright style as composed to the rather mystical quality of the piece you heard just immediately before it. So here is a solo now performed on the mbira by a young boy. Much of the music for the mbira is not only of great subtlety, but also can be of a very intense rhythmic setting. This next example is from the Tonga people, who have a very haunting musical style. This particular song is a song for the ancestral rites. There's a group here of two mbiras of different sizes, accompanied by a drum. Now, when you hear this, there's a very intense kind of rhythm going on. They set up this pattern playing. Each of the mbiras plays in a slightly different pattern, but the cross accentuation is quite startling and exciting. And then, as though this were not enough, one of the other players begins to do a little yodeling in the background, which is in the typical style of Southern Rhodesia. The yodeling is carried on to quite some degree. It's not simply just yodeling here and there, as you often hear on some recordings of African music, but it becomes an integral part of the music, and there's a very clearly outlined melody to it. It's somewhat reminiscent of Southwestern American yodeling. On the other hand, you'll notice that there's a kind of rhythmic intensity to the whole performance that is lacking in our own folk music, I think. Okay, well, here is an example then from the Tonga people in Southern Rhodesia, Musenga, a song for the ancestral rites with two mbiras, drums, and some real wild yodeling. Thank you. Here's a song illustrating a technique that's very often used in the setting of particular sentiments to the accompaniment of the umbira. In this song, the man is singing a song to which the text is simply, "I have lost my mother." Basically this, with a few embellishments. And there are a group of singers. So you'll notice the same text is essentially being repeated over and over again, occasionally with a new idea, so that the whole structure of the piece consists of simply having a repeated melodic pattern go on and on, which sets up a kind of style, texture, and mood, certainly. And on this, even the slightest innuendo or change of feeling in the singer's melody, or in contrast of either the vocal soloist or the chorus of singers, adds great emphasis to this difference in the ensemble. Here then is a song called "I Have Lost My Mother," sung by a group of voices to the accompaniment of the umbira.
Young, my 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 young,
Nothing better illustrates the very soft and delicate style that is possible on the mbira than the love songs. These are very often performed in the function of a kind of serenade or as a lament as well. In either case, the singing style, the preferred singing style, is a kind of soft whisper to the accompaniment of this very quiet pattern on the mbira. Here is a young man of the Meji people performing two of his own love songs, two of his own compositions, accompanying himself on the mbira.
Come on.